And season two is live.
The premiere.
The premiere episode of season two.
The welcome to Hell Week. Town.
Welcome to hell.
Welcome. Yeah, welcome to hell.
Welcome to hell. And it really feels to get like us started, we've only got hell. One question for you. Do you have Jesus in your heart today?
Do you?
So you know who doesn't have Jesus in his heart?
Who?
Lucifer.
Lucifer.
AKA Old Scratch. Scratch? Old
yeah.
Scratch?
That's yeah. one of those. Old Spice?
He has many names. Old Spice, Old Scratch, Scratchy Spice, Scary Spice. He's got many names. We'll go over a couple of them. He's the biggest bat of all time, or so they would have you believe.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to pick that shit apart, and you can decide for yourself. Welcome back. And we have a new, temporary, but a new little intro theme for you today, and we hope you like it. And if you don't, then you can go to hell. You're already there. Anyways, so let's do it. Anyways, all right.
If you have just stumbled upon this podcast,
go listen to all of season one first.
Yeah. So this is season two. We're kicking it off.
We had some tears.
Yeah. Lots of, it's a roller coaster, really.
But we're kicking this off
with Hell Week. If you are unsure of what that means, it means that we are spending a week in hell
of
just
hell
for you guys.
Themed podcasts.
Yeah. Obviously, we're talking about the devil today.
We're talking about the devil today. We're going to have some cool stuff. We have demons.
We're going to be watching a lot of movies.
A lot of movies. Our favorite hell-themed / devil-themed films.
Yep.
There are so many classics. I don't know how we're going to get through them all. We got a Lore Hour, Dante's Inferno. If you don't know what Lore Hour is, go back to the fourth episode of all time, and that will be the first Lore Hour of all songs.
That was our first Lore Hour?
I believe so.
Wow.
I believe so.
Well, we got a lot of good stuff coming at you this week. We hope that you are as excited as we are. And
they're probably more excited.
Probably.
They're probably thinking, why aren't the two of these fucks more excited?
I mean, I'm excited. It is Hell Week. It is hot as hell.
It is.
My energy is drained.
It's hotter than the devil's butt crack himself.
Yes. Yes, it is. Let's just jump right into
it. Let's jump in.
Who is the devil?
Well, I thought we could start by sharing a little bit of background on our own church experiences.
Okay.
And both of us, our families, generally speaking, are more religious than we are.
Yeah.
For me personally, as a kid, it would come in waves. So my parents wouldn't make us go to church for a long time. But then there were a couple times when there was like this weird, like, we have to start going to church or we're all going to hell. And so then we would go to church for like every weekend for like what seemed like an endless number of weeks.
Yeah. And then you just fall right back out of it again.
For sure. Some of the best naps of my life.
Some of the best naps happened in that First
Baptist church. But that's the quote that stuck with me because I feel like every like pastor or like preacher, priest, whatever, there's all these different like titles. They all have like catchphrases of their own, kind of.
Yeah.
So the one of the guy who was the pastor at that church, he often said, "Do you have Jesus in your heart today?"
That's just like sounds like a classic televangelist. Like,
yeah. And the thing is, here's a pro tip to you out there if you're considering becoming some kind of a religious. If you're gonna have like your own congregation ministry, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't speak in a soothing voice. And make sure your church has air conditioning, because if your church is a little, if the inside is a little too warm, and you have your microphone, and you're like, you're speaking in like a, you know, Jesus is with all of us today. Yeah, you're going to put everyone to sleep, okay? ASMR Everybody's going to be taking a nap.
Now, you got to have a gravelly, like, rough voice. You got to be like keep the pitch.
Detective.
Like, very. Like,
struggling
you wanna,
with alcoholism.
Yeah, you don't want to get people too comfortable. Like, go quiet and then rah, loud and then kind of bring it back down.
Fire and Brimstone, to me, is more exciting.
Yeah.
Even, you know, there's that intimate threat of, like,
you're gonna
I'll send
die.
You to hell myself if you don't listen up, kiddo. But
and
like,
then, yeah, keep it cold, obviously.
Yeah, so just be, you know, just give it some oomph.
Mm-hmm. Really just
for sure.
Get into it. Get into your passion.
And what about you? Does anything stick with you from those days? Any catchphrases?
No.
Did
pastor,
you share the napping experience?
The pastor at my my church, the one I went to growing up, didn't really have any catchphrases. He was actually a very smart man.
Did I meet that guy?
Secularly. No, you did not.
Okay.
Secularly. I mean, he was businessman.
He was able to separate sort of the church persona, because there is a persona to people who are like when they're preaching.
I wouldn't necessarily separate, but I mean, he was very smart in many things, not just like biblical studies. Like he was, you know, knew lots about history, all that.
He was Renaissance man.
Obviously, some of the things that he studied conflicted with his biblical studies, and I don't know how he reconciled that, but whatever. But I went pretty much every Sunday of my young life, and I still consider myself a religious person, but I definitely I have some feelings towards
I remember, like,
the modern church.
The Baptist church friends that you make at church are like weirder than regular friendships, because
for sure,
like, you mostly just know them through church. There's probably a few kids that are homeschooled for some reason. I feel like I always met a lot of homeschooled kids when I went to the same church. Maybe just because it's like a general community gathering place, so you get, but it's like a weird friendship, because it's like you can't really, like, you gotta be a little bit fake to go along with the whole, like, parade of, like, we're all trying to be virtuous people.
Yeah, there's
you can't
definitely
be like, hey Billy, want to come over to my house and get wasted?
Yeah,
like,
that's,
you know what I mean, like, you can't, like,
that was one of the
not that
problems
I
that I
sounded
had
like
with the
that
churches.
As a kid. But
so many people that I knew just were so fake, and it was so obvious.
Yeah,
I just didn't care to be around that, and like, there was a lot of mean people. Like, I didn't have any friends in my church youth group for a long time, or I had a few, but most people were just like, were just mean. Yeah. I was like, that's really kind of like not what.
They don't need
we're
friends. They have God on their side.
Like, you can go to your school and be mean, whatever. But like, here is supposed to be like the place where everyone is on the same team. And I mean, you don't have to like get along with everybody, but at least be friendly. But no, I was like, that was where I was significantly felt more bullied than anywhere else. Sadly, was
really?
At church. So I have some interesting mixed feelings about that. I mean, obviously
I don't know.
Not
I didn't typically
like
the
that,
other
but
kids, but the part that I really like is when they do like, okay, everyone like stand up now and go and say, hey, your neighbor. And it's like this weird, like, anxiety to it.
Yeah.
But once you get into it, you're like, you're just shaking
I never
hands
got
and
into
you're like,
it.
Good morning.
Old people would be like, oh, I remember when you were a baby. I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And they would like talk to me. It was very strange. But
I also like when you would sing, and then there's always like a few people that are just like so into it. And that's cool and everything. I'm not like shitting on them for being into it. But it's like, you got to realize that for most people, when they're singing, the highest level of enthusiasm is still like just medium. So when you have that one person who's like going all out, hands in the air, and doing like opera, you know, just like really pounding those notes.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's a
little
interesting
strange experience.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in a Baptist church, any artistic expression at all was frowned upon. So when you do have those newcomers that come and they like got the hands raised, everybody kind of looks at them a little strange, like,
yeah,
oh, what are they doing? Don't you know where you are, son? This is a Baptist church. Get that Church of Christ shit out of here. I don't want to shit on anyone who is religious. Like I said, I still consider myself religious.
I think we all have to just
very different feelings about certain things.
Well, and the thing is, like, even though there's so many of us, it's still kind of like a lonely journey to kind of figure out how do you find meaning in what you're doing? Because there's a lot of aspects of like our society that we're doing shit that doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think however you can give it a more meaningful spin or feel a little more fulfilled, go for it. Whether it's, you know, believing in one God or 100 or believing in, like, you know, aliens, like, creating the earth, whatever. I mean, yeah.
Or if you think if that the devil is the good guy. I mean, there are people that do that. We've got the Levian Satanists and all that. Well, I don't know if they necessarily believe he's the good guy, but there are some out there. Right? Luciferianism, all that.
Yeah, well, because that's something that we might want to draw a distinction later. Satanism is not, like, devil worship.
Well, not...
Not all of it.
Yeah, there are some definitely worship the devil.
But, like, in general, when you say Satanism, there's, like, you know... people say, like, Satanists, like, the Satanists are doing weird stuff in the hills. Yeah. Like, I don't know a ton about it, but I do know that being a Satanist doesn't necessarily mean that you're, like, worshiping the devil.
Yeah, but we can get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, but so I feel like we all kind of know, like, a bit of, like, the origin story, in a sense, of the devil. Lucifer, he was one of the big archangels.
Mm-hmm.
In some versions, there are, like, 3 or 4, and then other versions have, like, 7 or 8 or 9 with, like, all these different names.
Yeah.
The ones I think are most well-known, Raphael, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer.
Yes.
And then in some versions, they add ones like, you know, Uriel. But those are kind of the four that are like, really commonly, like, spoken of and referenced.
Yeah.
He was, I think that some, like, he supposedly was, like, the most beautiful of the angels.
Or that seems to be the common thread. Yeah. Is he was just a... one of the best looking dudes up there.
Yeah.
And he let that go to his head, really. In the more conservative Christian, like what I heard at church growing up was he wanted to be God. Like he thought that he could be better than God. Mm-hmm. So he rebelled against him. There's also just he had his own ideas. Like he still was like, God, are you better than me? But like, I've got my own ideas. Like I've got like, maybe we could do the animals a little differently. I don't know. And God was like, no, I've already done it. And then in Islam, when God created Adam, Satan, I can't remember. I don't know how to pronounce the Islamic version. But when he created Adam, all the angels bowed down to Adam. And Lucifer refused. He said
Lucifer's like, I'm better than this guy. He's got wings, motherfucker.
Like, I'm supreme to Adam. And what I mean, it's technically true. Like, he's an angel. Yeah. Like, He's higher up on the hierarchy than
like
a human.
Probably throw lightning bolts and shit. I don't know.
And he's beautiful. Like, I haven't heard anything about Adam being beautiful or anything. He was just the first dude.
Yeah, that's another thing is like in some versions, like, you know, there's like a deep hatred sort of like towards mankind. Like he does see mankind as being inferior. And it kind of makes sense of like, you know, if you look at like how there's like a hierarchy to the angels.
Mm-hmm.
So, because like, if you know, there's like orders like... there are like much weaker, sort of like less powerful, less significant angels. But then at the tippy top are the archangels like Lucifer. So he's gotten used to basically being told like, oh, well, you're better than all of these other dudes who also have wings. But you're still worse than that guy who has no wings and shits in the woods and wipes his ass with a leaf.
But that's because they say God created man from his own image. So perhaps Lucifer thought like,
yeah.
Well, you know, if it's created after God's own image, like, why couldn't it be me or whatever?
Yeah.
So he was just generally pissed off, didn't like the way things were going, and decided.
And so he basically tries to lead a rebellion.
Yeah. He gathers up other angels.
He's got his own squad because he's, you know, he's got street cred.
Yeah.
He's worked hard.
Passed out some pamphlets, I'm sure.
Yeah, plenty of pamphlets. That's the key.
Had their little meetings in heaven. He's like, it's going down on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So everyone be sure to be there.
Got a potluck dinner.
Yeah. Thank you to Carrie for making all these great outfits for us. all that good stuff. And in some versions, you know, when he rebelled against God, God threw him and his followers from heaven down to earth. In the ancient Hebrew tradition, he threw them so hard that they created a hole in the center of the earth. And that is known as Sheol, which was just a place for the dead. Not necessarily hell. It's just where everybody, kind of like purgatory, everyone went there after they died, whether you were good or bad. And then at the end of time, you would be like, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven. Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. And of course, we know the tale of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Basically, you know, things are pretty good. Humans have, I think one of the distinctions that I've seen in almost every version is that In comparison to the angels, the humans are, they have a particular gift for like free will mm-hmm. and like independent thought.
Yeah.
Although that's contradictory when you consider Lucifer's story of specifically broke apart because based on like the interpretation is like he wanted to kind of go against the grain, which
yeah.
is an aspect of like having free will.
Yeah.
And so basically, you know, they make, God makes Adam and then he makes Eve from the rib of Adam. They've got the Garden of Eden. Basically they don't really have to like work hard to like, you know,
there is
hunt
no work.
Or yeah. Like they just basically
the,
like,
well, they're all vegetarians gather. Too, because all the animals live peacefully. No animal had died. There was no death of any kind. So they were just, except for the plants, they were just killing plants.
No death, no
tomatoes,
sin, no clothes.
Yeah. No clothes. There was no shame. So they didn't no shame. Like, you know, oh, my tits are out. Like, It was all cool.
It was good. Just chill vibes.
Until one fateful day when the woman fucked up. Thanks a lot, ladies. Just kidding. It's not your fault. It's the snake's fault. Which, in Genesis, it is not actually identified as Satan or the devil. It's just the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have said that later verses in the Bible clarify that's the devil. But translation issues, no one's really sure. But
yeah.
It's generally accepted that that is the devil because...
it's generally later, accepted that was the form that he took to tempt.
Yeah.
Because that was after he had been kicked out. And basically, so you took like a more biblical approach to the research. I read Paradise Lost by John Milton,
mm-hmm.
Which is basically like he kind of takes like the whole first... section of the Bible, like in terms of like Lucifer and, you know, his story and like Adam and Eve. And he sort of like puts like a, tells it more like a sort of drawn out prose. But the interesting thing about it is that, you know, for the first couple of sort of parts of the book, he basically paints like Satan, he puts him like in the perspective of a hero. Like you're just seeing, like you're experiencing the story from his point of view. So there's like him and all his buddies, and they've been cast down to hell, and they're chained to a lake of fire. And then, you know, God kind of like lets them free, and then they start to, you know, plan like, okay, well now we're free, so we're gonna get back at him, right? And they're like, they kind of like meet up, and it's more like, so obviously like all that's not in the Bible,
yeah.
But he basically turns it into like a fictional, you know, it's because it's poetry, but it actually does read.
It's like Bible
kind of
fan
like
fiction.
Prose. It's easier to read than like, you know, the Canterbury Tales with like the Middle English and,
yeah.
and all that. And so, yeah, and then it's like he's got, the way John Milton tells it, he had a third of all the angels in heaven and he tried to rebel. And he talks about, you know, the angels fighting each other. And he paints Lucifer as like this, you know, this supreme badass, because even though he lost, he compares him to like the Titans of old. Like he basically says like he's gigantic. He's bigger than the Leviathan, but they don't. There's still no like actual scale. It's yeah. not like the Leviathan was 500 feet. Like there's no like we don't actually know. We just know he's supposed to be a badass, and he's got like his, you know, his generals with him, and some of them are like, you know, rather than, you know, fight back, what if we just kind of chilled and, you know, made a cool place for ourselves down here, and maybe eventually they'll forgive us.
Yeah.
And then many of those were like, no, fuck that. And so they basically, you know, they have this debate, and they build this temple called Pandemonium. And if you notice, the word demon is in Pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you break down the word, it's like basically just means like all the demons like together.
Hmm.
Because depending on which interpretation you, I don't know, prefer, demons are sometimes said to be the other angels that fell with Lucifer.
Yeah,
sometimes they're painted as like some angels. Kind of otherworldly entities that were never human beings. And yet others say that they're basically just corrupted human souls.
Yeah.
Basically, like, he tells it from Lucifer got fucked up, and now he wants revenge, and his goal is to tempt, to corrupt this so-called perfect race of humans. And that's how that kind of leads into another telling of the story with the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. And
okay.
But it is pretty interesting. There's some shenanigans.
Yeah.
Some hijinks.
Shenanigans.
Yeah. He, like, you know, disguises himself as, like, a cherub. To get to Earth, he like sneaks past Uriel, and Uriel's like, "What's up, bro? Why are you here?" And he's like, "Oh, I just heard about how cool the humans are, and I want to check it out. You know, I just want to see what it's all about."
Yeah,
he's like, "Seems legit," and he just kind of lets him go. In the process, Lucifer creates the entities Sin and Death, And they eventually kind of build a bridge to the human world, and that's sort of like... So it's like they kind of connect it all back to Lucifer as like he's the cause of a lot of these problems.
That's very interesting.
He encounters like an entity just called Chaos, and I think another one called Discord, as if they're like beings.
Yeah.
Because like the story goes like there was nothing, and then God just like whoosh, created everything.
Just kind of came into being.
But that always begs the question, you know, what was there before?
Yeah.
And you could, I think that Chaos would be a fair answer.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
so basically everything gets fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, as it does with Lucifer in charge, just what a rascal.
Yeah.
What a rascal. That's interesting though. The story of him, disguising himself as a cherub in the Garden of Eden. Cause in, I believe it's in Ezekiel, which is a part of the Old Testament. There's a story about a king of Tyre, which is just an ancient land, which he's described. It's supposedly a real person. I couldn't confirm or deny that. But it doesn't state that he's the devil or anything, but they compare him a lot to he's just an evil, evil king. He's a tyrant, possibly where we get the word tyrant from, the king of Tyre. And he... They also
say... Who knows
say,
how words are formed?
Yeah, who knows? But they also say that he was in, this king was in the Garden of Eden as a cherub. But then they're not like, oh, he was the devil.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing.
Yeah. Well, this is, he was a cherub to sneak past, and then he was like, he was trying to figure out what form to take. So in Paradise Lost, he actually takes the form of a toad first, and then he's whispering in Eve's ear as her and Adam are sleeping, and he like gives her nightmares.
Oh,
and then the next, I think like the next day or like a few days later, then he approaches as, they just call it the serpent.
Right.
And that's also like, I like when they work in these like, because it's like a, not like a creation myth, but like they explain like why a certain animal does this or why it looks this way. And so they, because he took the form of a serpent to, you know, talk to Eve, because basically in Paradise Lost, I'm assuming in the Bible, he basically claims like, oh yeah, you got to eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge. Look, I'm a fucking snake, but I can talk and shit because I ate that fruit.
Yeah.
Imagine what it's going to do to you.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he kind of like plays it up. And she's like, whoa, the snake's talking to me. What? I got to try this out. And so then because of that, that's is supposedly as punishment. God basically makes all the serpents crawl on their bellies. And
yeah, which, it was
which
just like
makes you wonder, like, what did they do before? Did they like stand
have like
up straight
little
and
legs?
Like, hop? Yeah, like what?
Yeah, that's what I remember hearing from pastors as a kid was like, that's why snakes don't have legs. So like they're forced to, you know, slither through the dirt because of what Satan did. It's like, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. But yeah, and also like, what did they do before? Are you saying they evolved? Cause that doesn't work with what you guys are saying. But anyway, yeah, I don't know if in the Bible he doesn't like say like, hey, I'm a snake and I'm talking, so that must be some good fruit. It's more of just like, that is like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Like, don't you want to be smart? Like, don't you want to basically like, you can become your own God because God has all of that knowledge and he's all powerful. So it's like, if you eat that fruit, you'll be just like God. So basically tempting them with the power of being a God.
Yeah. And in Paradise Lost, he also says, no. God actually wants you to eat it. It's just a test. He's testing your free will. He just wants to see if maybe you'll think for yourself for once and eat that fruit. So, yeah. But as we know that they don't actually really gain anything. They gain the knowledge of good and evil, but all they really like, the only final benefit is that they now gain knowledge of the evil that they committed by disobeying God.
And
then they start putting on
part
clothes
of the world.
And
like, they feel ashamed. They, you know, like, but yeah, death enters the world.
Death and sin and
veganism goes out the window at this point.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, eating meat. Then they have their kids. Obviously, you know, most
Cain
people know the story of Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Cain murders his brother. Is it Cain that murders Abel?
Yeah, Cain kills Abel.
Yeah.
There's actually something that I thought was funny. In Paradise Lost, so basically they're going to get kicked out of the Garden of Eden by Michael and the rest of the Angel Squad because they, you know, they screwed up. And he's showing Adam like sort of a vision of mankind's future. So they show him Cain and Abel, and they show him like the flood and Noah. And then it says there's a part where like, he's showing him this scene of people like playing games and dancing and having fun and then like having an orgy. And Adam's like, that looks pretty cool. And he's like, he's like, no, those are the atheists, man. They don't believe in God. Those are the sinners. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's bad. Don't want that. he's like, this looks pretty good. And he's like, humanity's gonna be okay. And he's like, no. Those are the bad guys.
Humanity's gonna be okay. We're gonna do good after all, guys. No, you're not getting it. You're not getting it, Adam.
Well, but then in Paradise Lost, that fills Adam with hope because he actually sees like all supposedly sees all of the good things that will come out of humanity. So the idea is like, you screwed up. Now all you can do is like try to repent, and then of course to pay for all the sins after, but also that initial sin, we got Jesus.
Yeah.
Which, it's interesting, like, how sometimes it's different denominations, but how they, like, kind of, like, view Jesus, like, slightly differently. Like, is he separate from God? Is he, like, an extension of God, but also the Son, Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Like, how does that work? In Paradise Lost, Jesus is actually kind of, like, the catalyst for Lucifer's rebellion. Because, and in Paradise Lost, he doesn't call him Lucifer, I don't think. He mostly just calls him Satan. And I think it was like, it was something like in Hebrew, the word Satan, or the word that Satan is derived from, actually just means like adversary.
Yeah, an adversary or an obstacle.
Yeah, because I know that like in the story of Job.
Not necessarily used as a name. It was
right. And so in the story of Job, they say Satan, because someone in heaven is challenging God and saying like, hey, we should test Job because I don't think he is going to stick it out if terrible things happen. I don't think he's really that devout. And so generally they say like, oh, yeah, well, that's Satan. That's the devil. But not necessarily. That could just be anyone that's challenging. Yeah. Anyhow, point is, now that I've totally lost my original train of thought, so in Paradise Lost, he refers to Jesus as just the Son. And he actually is like a separate being. It's almost like he's another archangel.
Yeah.
Like he comes into being and then he gets placed as God's right hand man. And that sort of sets off some of Lucifer's jealousy. Mm. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I can't even be right hand man. I can't even be the best archangel. I'm going to be God. And then,
damn. Yeah. Way to go, Lucifer.
It's a rough story.
Yeah.
It's a rough story. It's an interesting story.
It is an interesting story.
I think, you know, I mean, what do you think it is about the story of the devil that, because I would argue that even compared to God, when it comes to like pop culture, the devil is more present. Like you have all these like interpretations and like depictions of Lucifer or the devil or some version of him, but I would argue you don't actually see God put into as many things.
Well, yeah, it's because, I mean, with pop culture, with entertainment, we want to see people overcoming bad situations. They don't necessarily like want the story like, all right, God, like a movie about God being like, all right, you guys are all doing great. You guys aren't doing as well, but, you know, you still got a few more years left. Make it up to me. You know, just do your thing. They want to see, you know, go against the devil, go against evil, and come out on top. Yeah, that's because, a movie about God. I mean, there are movies like, about,
and there's like novelty portrayals like Morgan Freeman and Bruce Almighty, like
but those aren't necessarily even about God really.
He's just needed for the story to go along.
But I just think people want to see, you know, people overcoming, you know,
well, that's what's interesting about Paradise Lost is for that first portion, it's about Satan's struggle to basically get back the power, to find some kind of like, you know, resolution. Which is interesting. It kind of, you know, just flips the original narrative on its head.
Yeah.
That
is interesting.
It is interesting. And I don't know, like, it's also interesting that they say he was potentially the most beautiful archangel, but most of our depictions of him have him, like, with, like, horns and, like, his, you know.
Yeah, his image has really been tainted. But we've got to keep in mind here, folks, that, let's see, the Old Testament. The Bible was written in the 6th century BC. Quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And they're really, at the time, most religions didn't necessarily have an evil figure. Or if they did, it wasn't like a dualistic thing. It was just like, oh, like there's some bad guys, but they're not like on the same level.
Yeah.
And so Satan, like we said, Satan comes from the Hebrew word, meaning like an adversary, not necessarily a one specific person or being, but just anything that opposes you, or is an obstacle like on your path to do good. Mm-hmm. And so there really wasn't an image for Satan. I mean, yeah, he was described as very beautiful.
Well, for sure. Like the way he's depicted as now is a result of like pop culture.
Yeah. Old timey pop culture. but yeah. So like he wasn't even really thought of, like no one really, when they were writing the Old Testament, thought of a person anyway. But then an ancient religion, Zoroastrianism, started by the Zoroaster.
That was the first, was that the first monotheistic religion that we know of?
I don't know if it was first monotheistic, but it was the first to introduce a
supreme god.
Yeah, like an opposing god. You had like the good god who represented light and all that like good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you had an equally powerful opposing god who was the evil god, like god of darkness, all that. And they were like kind of like a yin and yang.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they were a part of the same story and they needed each other to exist.
To kind of, or like, yeah, one
wouldn't exist without the other.
Yeah.
And then that kind of like it became the new norm in religions. Like it creeped into, I think Buddhism even like developed their own figure, like I believe it's the Maram. I could be wrong on the name there, but they have their own that even tempted Buddha. Similar to how the devil tempted Jesus in the desert in the Bible. But, of course, Buddha came out on top. Congratulations, Buddha.
Buddha.
So, yeah, after the Zoroaster introduced this this new evil god, I think it's Angra Mainyu, probably butchering the pronunciation on that, but that's the evil god.
They'll forgive you.
In Zoroastrianism. So, yeah, it kind of creeped into all these other religions. And then it creeped into Hebrew religions.
Yeah.
And that's
Hebrew religions.
Yeah. Religion. And that is where we get like the idea of Satan or the devil as its
like
own
a physically
being.
Opposing force.
Being that opposes God, but like also was created by God and like they need each other to exist.
Well, and in a lot of religions, you know, that opposing force also gets connected to the punishment that awaits people who disobey the good.
Yeah, you got to have a reason to keep people in line.
Yeah.
Because so, if there's no bad God, if it's just like, it's just the good God, there's really no, there's no punishment. Like, oh, well, if you are not on his side, then there's no other side for you to be on. So they create a bad side. So it's like we're creating a second team now. So if you're not on our team, then you're on that team. Mm-hmm. And that team will lose. And you will go to hell. Mm-hmm. So, be on the right team, basically.
Yeah, basically. Probably just, I mean, that's obviously a way of trying to enforce the tenets of the religion in a societal context.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have a group of people, even if they all claim to worship in the same way, you still kind of, when that is sort of the primary, factor that holds together your society, you have to make sure everyone plays by those rules.
Yeah.
And so if somebody's like, well, I'm thinking of killing my neighbor, and I noticed in our sacred text, it doesn't really say anything bad's going to happen. They'd be like, no, something bad will happen. Don't kill him. You're going to go to hell.
Yeah. We've got a new report.
I found some golden tablets in the woods, guys.
There
it says hell is real.
There is actually a bad guy.
Yeah.
And so if you kill him, you're going to be on the bad guy's team, and you don't want to be on the bad guy's team.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, there has to be a punishment.
Yeah.
I always thought it was hard to wrap my head around the idea of, like, you live, like, maybe, like, most people, like, maybe, like, 70, 80 years max.
Mm-hmm.
But then, just from what happened in that relatively short time, for the rest of eternity, you get assigned to one or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, with the exception of purgatory, which we'll talk a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
We can just knock it out right now. Purgatory,
the in-between place.
Yeah, it's the in-between place. It's like you weren't, necessarily like awesome, so you don't go straight to heaven, but you don't really deserve to go to hell, so you basically have to wait out a sentence.
Yeah.
And then you get to paradise, but your sentence can be super long.
Yeah. And purgatory is not necessarily like, it's not,
place.
Yeah, it's not like when we say wait out the
it's
sentence.
It's like a waiting room.
It's not like Yeah, there's really just nothing there.
Yeah, you probably just play checkers for like a couple hundred years.
Chilling. It's not great. It'll be boring, but you're not going to get like raped with a pineapple.
Yeah.
As depicted in South Park's.
Yeah.
A bigger, longer, uncut. Is that it? The one with the devil?
Sounds right.
I think that's the one. Could be wrong. But yeah, it's not necessarily a bad place, but yeah, it's where the lukewarms go. That's a term that I heard a lot growing up in the church was lukewarm. Like, don't be lukewarm. Like, your faith needs to be, you know, you got to be passionate, basically.
Yeah.
You can't just be like,
eh. Well, I think it's interesting, you know, and we're going to do a lore hour on Dante's Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is, in a lot of versions, Satan or Lucifer is depicted as being like the ruler of hell, as if he's like the main boss and he kind of doles out the punishments. I believe in Inferno, he's actually yet another person being punished.
Like he's I think part you of have that. Herd. You have that backwards, actually.
Because he's trapped really in the ninth circle.
He is, but there was also like before the Divine Comedy and Dante's Inferno, like all that. There really was no idea, and it was never stated in the Bible that the devil was the ruler.
Yeah,
of
no,
hell.
I mean that's how we see him now.
Oh, okay, yeah. So yeah, in the Divine Comedy, he is mm-hmm. being tortured, but he is also like he rules over.
Right, and now, but hell. Now, like in like pop culture depictions of him, it's like he's the boss.
Yeah,
usually.
Yeah, he's the CEO of hell. Yeah, CEO. But yeah, that really that came from pop culture and.
Yeah,
you
know, it's really interesting. It's really interesting, like how much more of Lucifer's story we kind of filled in after the fact.
Yeah,
because like they don't really say that much. Like he shows up to tempt people. He got his ass kicked. He fell from heaven, but there's not really much else. Like
yeah,
to
I think
kind of
in the Bible, like Old and New Testament, maybe just the Old. He's only mentioned or like. I think probably in the whole Bible, actually, the devil or Satan or Lucifer is only mentioned like less than 80 times, which the Bible's a big book. Like less than 80 mentions. And in the Old Testament, it wasn't a specific person. It was just like an evil force, an obstacle, an adversary.
Yeah.
So it was like, they didn't give you a whole lot on it.
Yeah.
And then
maybe that's part of the fear. It's like you don't really know that much of what's waiting for you. You know it's going to be bad. And, you know, as we know, the power of the human imagination potentially more horrific than, you know.
Or they just, when they were writing the Old Testament, they just, there was no concept of the evil opposing God.
Yeah.
And then when they were writing the New Testament, they're like, all right, we gotta fit that in. It's doing well in the other religions. So we gotta work that into ours. So we'll take that old word that they use, Satan, and we'll just make that a person.
Yeah.
So... And once again, I'm not trying to shit on anyone's religion. Like, if you are out there, you're Muslim, Jewish, whatever, Christian.
We firmly believe in the personal journey.
That the devil is out there and he's a real person, that's fine.
If you've met him, shoot us an email at the folks at menbodydogspodcast.
Yeah, if you've gotten into a fiddle competition with him,
yes.
I would like to hear your story. Maybe write a song about it. I don't know.
Maybe write a song.
Has that been done?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think
so. You know, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You should trademark that idea.
We just need a state to make it about. I don't know. We'll figure
something
it out.
About Alabama, Mississippi.
I don't know. Alabama. Yeah, that sounds good.
I don't know. In part two, we're going to jump a little more into, like, where is the devil today? Like, what is, like, the sort of, like, the psychological component of why he might have been introduced? And we'll look at a couple of other... works in which he was depicted,
and I've got some fun facts about the names, come up with all these names for the devil.
Yeah,
so stick around, and we'll see you in part two, boys.
Get home safe.